Welcome to This is Robotics, radio news, podcasting news and commentary from around the world. Please join us for today's radio news report with your host, Tom Green, for news, analysis, and commentary from the wide world of robotics. Radio News is a production of Asian Robotics Review, your most trusted news resource in global robotics. And now, here's Tom.
Thank you, Claire, for that wonderful introduction. And welcome, everyone, to This is Robotics Radio News. I'm Tom Green, your host and companion to the wonderful world of robotics. Welcome to this, our 10th episode of This is Robotics Radio News. And thanks ever so much for your patronage, loyalty, and all the downloads of our episodes. Buzzsprout, our podcast host, tracks our downloads and sends us congratulatory exploding emails when we hit noteworthy junctures. 5,000 last month, and it looks like 6,000 as of today. We put all of our efforts into producing great content. Buzzsprout helps with everything else. They host over 85,000 podcasts, and we're in the top 5% of that 85,000 in only 10 episodes. Amazing. Cheers to our global audience for uplifting the podcast to those remarkable heights. Thank you ever so much. We lead today's show with farm robots and the coming explosion in their numbers. As the world moves towards an additional 2 billion people by 2050, going from 7 to 9 billion, the global food supply, according to the UN, will need 70% more food. Farm robots are the only way that will happen. Automating farms and farm robots is the only way to get productivity up that high. But here's the potential problem in all of that. With all of these new farm robots by the millions, will farm robots become our next gas-guzzling, fume-spewing agents of climate change? It's going to happen, but there is a solution. Following that is our piece on womb-to-tomb hiring algorithms. Hiring algorithms, says a recent study, mistakenly reject certain men, women, and the handicapped. What does that mean for the future of robotics and tech staffing? And now, algorithms are used for annual performance reviews, raises, layoffs, and firings. New York City is cracking down on them. Others may follow. See what we discovered. You may have noticed a new trend taking place in East Asia and Southeast Asia. We talk about it a lot on the podcast. And that's the creation of what is called a robot technopolis or robot city. We've done a number of stories. Basically, a robot city is when a country takes a certain defined geographic area in that country, invests billions of dollars, and creates in that space a lot or almost all of its robotics and automation firepower, whether it be from universities, whether it be for R&D labs or private companies, etc. And now Singapore is joining the crowd. Singapore is joining other Asian countries in building a robot city, the Jurong Innovation District, a 20-year, multi-billion-dollar effort that could spark a renaissance in Singapore's tech industry. Our concluding story we call The New Heroes of Robotics. Last month, I spoke to a cohort of students hell-bent on careers in robotics, the Supertech Code Tenderloin Robotics Scholars. My topic was Robotics New Heroes. The new heroes of robotics are new sources of inspiration to admire and to emulate. They are not Hollywood creations. They are real. And their explorations are more than enough to send thousands of young people off in pursuit of careers in robotics. Yet very few kids know about them and their fantastic adventures. I try to fill them in on what the new heroes are doing and how important they are to all of our futures. Now, let's get on with the news. Here's the question that our lead story seeks to answer. Will farm robots become our next gas-guzzling, fume-spewing agents of climate change? Seems that way, but there is a solution. What if we all woke up tomorrow morning and found every farm on the face of the earth had been automated with agricultural robots? For sure, we'd have more food for our hungry planet, but at what cost? Will gas-guzzling, fume-spewing farm robots create a spike in greenhouse gases. That's unacceptable. Globally, farm tractors number around 14 million today, with another 2 million sold annually. Automating all farms with robots, however, could easily treble, quadruple, quintuple the farm tractor population, and running them 24/7 could easily treble, quadruple, or quintuple the exhaust fumes produced per day. According to the Environmental Protection Agency, the typical passenger car emits about 5 metric tons of carbon dioxide annually. Experts say that a single farm tractor puts out the equivalent of 14 automobiles, or 70 metric tons of carbon dioxide per tractor. And carbon dioxide stays in our atmosphere for a long time, unless some kindly forest cleans it up for us. Do we need to make such trade-offs in greenhouse gases just to eat, or is there a solution? With the world population ballooning from 7 billion to 9 billion by 2050, and the United Nations projecting a need for a 70% increase in food production to feed those 9 billion mouths, automating farms is seen as the only way to meet the goal of more food for more people. Farm tractors operating 24/7 in our fields and orchards will be a natural occurrence. Hear that? That's an 8R autonomous farm tractor from John Deere, the world's largest supplier of farm equipment. A farmer can operate the 28,000-pound monster robot using a cell phone from his breakfast table. The new 8R uses 6 pairs of cameras and an AI system to navigate without a driver. The system will also conduct real-time readings on soil quality, something made possible by the 8R's remote control capabilities. If every farm was automated, especially with an 8R, the UN's food goals would be attainable. But such automation comes with a price tag to be paid in a massive spike of greenhouse gases. According to the Frontiers in Sustainable Food Systems, already more than 30% of all greenhouse gases on our planet are the outcome of feeding humanity, what's called provisioning. Provisioning covers everything from growing crops to raising livestock. In short, from farm to fork. Exacerbating that 30% with even more fumes spewing from millions more farm tractors certainly won't help, especially for long-lived carbon dioxide. Of the millions of farm tractors manufactured annually, the percentage of autonomous tractors, those capable of round-the-clock operation, is on the rise and will quicken as the planet nears 9 billion people by 2050. A report from StatsOn has autonomous tractor sales at $153 million in 2020, predicted to increase to $1.1 billion by 2030. Certainly, a pittance when stacked against the global AG equipment sales that's north of $150 billion annually. However, with such growth in autonomous tractors on the rise, the obvious need is for climate-friendly farm robots. And there's a contender. With a recent bid to claim that distinction, Monarch Tractor from Livermore, California, has created the world's first truly climate-friendly farm tractor. It's all electric. A full quarter of our world's greenhouse gas emissions comes from agriculture and agriculture-related activities, said Praveen Penmetsa, CEO of Monarch, in describing the need for his all-electric autonomous farm tractor. This year at CES, the Monarch Tractor earned a CES Innovation Award is the world's first truly fully electric smart tractor that enhances farmers' existing operations, alleviating labor shortages, and maximizing yields. The award-winning Monarch tractor combines electrification, automation, machine learning, and data analysis to set a new standard in tractor technology capabilities. Monarch's all-electric autonomous farm tractor was not lost on agri-giant John Deere, which has partnered with Austrian EV maker Kreisel with the goal of offering electric power for all of its agricultural products. John Deere is committed, says Pierre Guillot, Senior Vice President John Deere Power Systems, to a future with zero emissions propulsion systems and is investing in and developing technologies for batteries as a sole or hybrid propulsion system for vehicles. Kreisel specializes in battery electric vehicles, or BEVs, which use chemical energy stored in rechargeable battery packs. In addition to clean operation, the $58,000 Monarch robot tractor is subsidized in California for up to 80% of the purchase price. 80% off. Now that's a deal worth getting to know. Are we entering into a new age? Is this the beginning of womb-to-tomb algorithms? Algorithms today sift through our resumes. Algorithms scrutinize our job interviews, are also part of our annual performance reviews and raises, weigh in on promotions, layoffs, and firings. In short, these days, algorithms are part of our entire work lives, womb-to-tomb algorithms. What's it all mean for robotics careers and staffing at tech companies in general? Are hiring algorithms mistakenly rejecting certain men, women, and physically handicapped, or even those living in undesirable zip codes, from participation in robotics careers? A new report from Harvard Business School hints at a broken hiring system, one where software is mistakenly rejecting millions of viable job candidates. And just this week, IBM researchers are saying algorithmic bias is a widely acknowledged problem. Unfair human assumptions and judgments are often encoded into algorithms that result in unfair targeting of certain groups. Collectively, they're known as Automated Employment Decision Tools, or AEDTs. New York City is cracking down on these algorithms, the result in unfair targeting of certain groups. Other states and municipalities, indeed other countries, are watching closely what is going on in New York City. Some are even taking action on their own. It's all in response to what is coming to be known as the rise of womb-to-tomb algorithms. The question to be fairly resolved, can machine learning, statistical modeling, and data analytics combine to fairly screen job applicants? Are those taking annual job reviews? Are those to be considered for a raise or a promotion? Are even those for a layoff, or worse, to be let go? It's a question that can haunt a worker for their entire working life. A recent Global Talent Trends survey of more than 7,300 human resource managers worldwide, conducted by asset management firm Mercer, found that the use of predictive analytics in hiring rose from 10% in 2016 to 39% by 2020. Some firms have already passed judgment on AEDTs. Amazon, for example, abandoned its AI recruitment software several years ago, after it was determined to be biased against women by not rating candidates for software developer and other technical positions in a gender-neutral way. The new law, passed by New York City Council in November, takes effect in January 1st, 2023. It bars employers and employment agencies from using AEDTs for the screening of job applicants or employee promotions unless those tools have been independently audited for bias, no more than 1 year prior to its use. Thus, employers wishing to continue to begin using AEDTs next January should already be conducting their bias audits. A summary of that audit must be made publicly available on the company or employment agency's website. In addition, the law requires that employers or employment agencies provide notice to job candidates no less than 10 business days before using an AEDT that such a tool will be deployed for reviewing their application. That should make for a very nervous interview. As one of the most prestigious hiring addresses in the world, New York City's council has taken the challenge of AEDT seriously and quickly. With a population of 8.8 million, New York City is larger than 39 of America's 50 states. The city is the headquarters for 54 companies on the Fortune 500 list of America's largest corporations. According to the New York State Department of Labor, the city now employs a record high of 4.6 million workers, adding approximately 90,000 jobs a year. With hundreds of New York City robotics and automation companies listing thousands of potential jobs, it's easy to see the potential and hollowing out of the talent pool. As a report from the Harvard Business School suggests, hiring algorithms can mistakenly reject certain men, women, and the physically handicapped, and thus reject many who aspire to a career in robotics. When the ball in New York City's Times Square descends this coming New Year's Eve, a whole new hiring world will be put to the test on the first day of 2023. We sent Henry Leonard to take a close look at the ramifications of this new law and to report back his findings. Henry didn't go alone. Attorneys and workplace policy experts, Jim Peretti and Mike Letito from Littler, the world's largest employment and labor law practice, made it as a team effort. This is a very complicated issue. Algorithms have an inherent bias, said Peretti. But according to Peretti, the New York City Council's law is very vague as to what the bias audit is supposed to examine and how it is expected to account for all the potential jobs and job classes for which a company might hire in the upcoming year. It also does not explain how its findings are to be utilized and whether the AEDT must pass such an audit. And if so, what are the passing criteria? As explained by MIT Sloan School professor Danielle Lee, typical hiring algorithms are designed to solve a static production problem. They look at a historical data set of people who were previously selected in order to predict who will be a good hire from a pool of current applicants. As a result, she said, those algorithms often end up providing a leg up to people from groups who have traditionally been successful and grant fewer opportunities to minorities and women. It's easy to see how devastating biased algorithms could be to robotics hiring. See the link in the show notes for Henry's full article. And let's all keep a close eye on where this is all going. Isn't there enough bias in the world already? Our next story is called Robots Offer Singapore a Bright Future. Maybe you haven't noticed the new phenomenon sprouting up in East Asia and Southeast Asia these days. It can be loosely referred to as robot cities. Robot cities are not recreational resorts. So what is a robot city? Well, it's a geographic area designated by a host country to be its central focus for the innovation, development, manufacturing, sales, and deployment of robotics and automation, which also includes university and corporate R&D facilities, plus helper organizations to speed new products into the marketplace. For a quick comparison, think Silicon Valley mashed together with Pittsburgh. Best known and biggest is Korea's Daegu City. Thailand has its Eastern Economic Corridor. Malaysia has plans for a robot city in Johor. And throwing its hat into the robot ring is Singapore, which has taken on a massive 20-year construction project that it's calling the Jurong Innovation District. You got to remember, Singapore, although it's rich, is only about the size of Chicago with 5 million people. So it's got to be pretty resilient in order to make sure it's still a winning place in the future. Singapore is making a $14 billion Winning the Future initiative that pegs robots and automation as essential enablers for its future. Okay, then. Singapore's robot city is the Jurong Innovation District. It has already received $313 million in new investment over the past year. It's part of Singapore's future vision to mobilize Industry 4.0 and its Industry Transformation Asia-Pacific plans into a place where robots, cobots, automation, industry, education, and people will coexist together in harmony. Hyundai's new $294 million innovation center is also located in the Jurong Innovation District, and it's connected to an auto plant, a Hyundai auto plant, which may produce up to 30,000 vehicles by the year 2025. Singapore's government has not lacked for legislative support and financing for robotics. Back in 2016, it pledged $335 million over 3 years for the National Robotics Program, or NRP. In 2018, it put $32 million into a joint venture between the same National Robotics Program and the state-owned Tomasek Holdings for the $36 million acquisition of Aethon Robotics. You remember Aethon, right? To date, total government funding targeted at AI, robotics, and supercomputers is a very tech-friendly $670 million. And that government financing is only part of the staggering $14 billion committed to research, innovation, and enterprise. Singapore is doing it the right way. Singapore financed the Nonprofit Robotics Automation Center of Excellence, or RACE, which helps SMEs and factory owners to better understand robotic solutions so they can adopt them. Let me repeat that. I think a lot of people should really get into that as well. What RACE does is it helps SMEs and factory owners to better understand robotic solutions so that they can adopt them. Nice. Additionally, SMEs were offered the automation support package with its grants of up to $750,000. There are also financial and tax incentives, as well as a $74 million increase in the SME Mezzanine Growth Fund to catalyze growth capital for enterprises through co-investment with the private sector. Not overlooked by any means, robotics and automation startups have a new development center to allow newbies greater access to support services, innovative technologies, and communication networks. Called the Launchpad Center, it houses 800 startups and more than 50 business incubators from a diverse range of industries. The research firm Traxan Technologies lists 32 robotics startups in Singapore, where there are high hopes for some breakout as tech and business dynamos. For example, Eureka Robotics, a startup spun out of Nanyang Technological University, or NTU, offers its six-axis Archimedes, a new cobot arm claiming human-like dexterity with accuracy to the tens of micron level. I mean, that sounds pretty good. Korea's Hanwha Robotics took notice, got excited about all the potential, and partnered with Singapore's PBA Group to launch Singapore's first cobot assembly facility. Singaporeans are now assembling Hanwha's HCR5 cobot and picking up new skills assembling high-quality cobots. All of Asia's robot cities are newly hatched, growing and meant to last. Singapore's Jurong Innovation District is one of the best. For the full report, see the link in the podcast show notes. As to the next location for a robot city, how about Vietnam? Believe it or not, there are new heroes in robotics. There are heroes beyond Joe Engelberger and whoever wins the Joe Engelberger award. God love Joe Engelberger. But since the year 2000, there have been a lot of new heroes of robotics coming on strong. New sources of inspiration to admire and emulate. They are not Hollywood creations, they are real. And their explorations are more than enough to send thousands of young people off in pursuit of careers in robotics. Yet, very few kids know about them and their fantastic adventures. Last month, I was asked to speak at a cohort of high school students hell-bent on robotics careers. The group was a robotics scholars summer program for high school kids put on by Supertech and Code Tenderloin in San Francisco. Great course, wonderful bunch of high schoolers. They were anxious and excited about upcoming college robotics and mechatronics courses, which eventual careers somewhere down the line in robotics waiting for them. Most had little idea of where that was. Somewhere in their lives, they would be working with robotics, and that's all they knew. There's so much more to robotics than that. Many young people are urged to get into robotics, but many times, that's as far as the advice goes. What awaits them in robotics is a big mystery. For inspirational models, they hearken to things like Star Wars sagas or Guardians of the Galaxy, things of that ilk. Nice, but there's so much more. I told them, like, the new heroes of robotics. And they said, what? All of the students were born since the year 2000. I said, you probably don't realize it since you're new millennium babies. Do you realize that more has been done in robotics since the year 2000 than in the 60-odd years preceding it? The new heroes of robotics have invented the totally new, created very necessary and important technologies, and along the way hatched multi-billion dollar industries, along with tens of thousands of jobs. I ticked off some of the robotics ventures that these new heroes have been on. I ticked off a few, like exoskeletons, surgical robotics, cobots, mobile industrial robots, service robots, drones, autonomous vehicles, subsea robots, maritime surface robots, nanoscale robots, biological robots, and the robots that are about to do some mining on a distant asteroid. I suggested to them that if you could get someone out of a wheelchair with an exoskeleton, you're actually more than a hero. You're a miracle worker. You have the ability, these young people sitting in front of me, not only to be heroes, but to be miracle workers for the future of robotics. Now, according to LinkedIn's emerging jobs report, the number one and number two emerging jobs with the best future for a career are artificial intelligence specialist and robotics engineer. The World Economic Forum agrees and has produced a chart with 32 careers branching out from a combination of artificial intelligence engineer and robotics engineer called Smart Robotics Careers. We at Asian Robotics Review have a special section called Do Yourself a Favor. It gives examples of these new smart robotics careers. It's a news column about emerging careers in smart robotics that might intrigue and inspire someone to follow as a career path of their own. Here's one of them. Piloting hunter-killer drones that could keep 25 million people from starvation. A young Spanish company is operating the drones in Africa for seek-and-destroy missions to locate locusts before locusts grow their wings. Locusts are the scourge of Africa. According to National Geographic, a desert locust swarm can be 460 miles in size and packed between 40 and 80 million locusts into less than a half of a square mile. A small swarm made up of 80 million locusts can consume the same amount of food in one day as 35,000 people, while a large swarm can eat up to 1.8 million metric tons of green vegetation, equivalent to food enough to feed 81 million people. Asset damages are estimated at $8.5 billion, according to the World Bank's report on the locust crisis. So enter this small Spanish company. They rev up their drones and fly out over the deserts or wherever else they think that these locusts may be without wings. Once they find the locusts without their wings, they return with flamethrowers and bombs and do their thing. The hunter-killer drones eliminate locusts well before they get into these gigantic clouds of destruction. Here's another one. A kid in Connecticut is pulling this one off. Robot cargo vessel, but a small one. Doesn't have to be huge. He provides freight services between Norwalk, Connecticut, and Huntington, New York, across Long Island Sound, to deliver food and other cargo faster, more reliably, and more affordably than truck transportation, reducing regional highway congestion as well. Comparable trucking services require a near 9-hour round trip to go from Norwalk to Huntington. With over 60% of coastal cargo in the U.S. now history, this little cargo vessel may be a thing of the future. The robot cargo vessel completes the terminal-to-terminal voyage in approximately 35 to 45 minutes. With vehicular traffic as slow and congested as it is, cargo service using these small robot cargo vessels could bloom again big time. Smart robotics from the new heroes in robotics. I think we're going to see many, many more in the years to come. In the meantime, I told this group, I said, come over to Asian Robotics Review. I know people have been telling you to get into robotics without specifics. Go to, do yourself a favor, look up the first 10 jobs that are there. Smart robotics from the new heroes in robotics. Do yourself a favor. Check us out. Well, dear friends, we've come to the close of another This Is Robotics Radio News podcast. Many thanks for coming. We sincerely hope that you enjoyed your brief stay with us, found the program interesting, and had a few takeaways that will stick in your memory banks and power your day along. Thanks also to Global Robotics for being such a wonderful source for news. Please remember, if you have news to share, requests, kind words, or a bone to pick, please get in touch with us at news@thisisrobotics.com. Once again, news@thisisrobotics.com. As a production of Asian Robotics Review, we hope you visit the site regularly. And please, sign up for our twice-weekly newsletters. It's painless. Just your email is all we need. So long, until next time.
That brings to a close today's edition of Radio News. As always, thank you for your interest and attention. Until our next report, please be sure to click on over to This Is Robotics, the online news column at Asian Robotics Review. Also, look for This Is Robotics Radio News at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Pandora. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, this is Radio News, signing off. Have a great day.